Okay, here's our question of the day. We just got done with dinner not too long ago. Where in Disney are we going for dessert?
Ooh. I have mine.
Okay, go for it.
I want us to go to Cali Grill. Cali Grill? California Grill?
Yeah. For dessert.
Yeah.
Because?
I don't know. I just remember our desserts being really delicious there.
They had those vegan donuts, didn't they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The like lavender vegan donuts. They
Which
were very good.
Which I have
good.
A recipe for.
You do?
I do.
Please share.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Who's next?
I want to go to Skipper Canteen and have the Kungaloosh cake.
Ooh. Tell us more about that.
It is chocolatey and delicious, and it's amazing.
That sounds delicious. Mm. I had a pretty filling dinner, so honestly, some Dole Whip just sounds amazing. And it's like 60 degrees here in February, so I can't.
Not mad at that.
Yeah.
Can't complain about that, and Dole Whip is never a wrong decision.
Right. Mm.
So I'm going to go back to where Candace and I actually stayed on our most recent trip, and we are going to go to Beaches and Cream.
Ooh.
I'm a huge ice cream fan, so let's go get some. What, they serve Edie's, right?
No, you're thinking Plaza Ice Cream Parlor.
Don't they all serve Edie's, though?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's good ice cream. It's right there at the beach club. They have the kitchen sink. I wouldn't get that. We talked about that recently, but I just want some ice cream with some good toppings, like a good ice cream sundae.
Mm.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, it does.
And there's always room for ice cream. It slips in around the edges.
Exactly.
Can I have just a bowl of peanut butter sauce?
Mm. Sure.
Okay. Maybe some mini marshmallows.
Ooh, that doesn't sound half bad.
Sounds okay. I just want some liquid peanut butter. Ugh.
Mm.
Okay. Well, you do on your own time.
I know. You got to tell me.
Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm Candace.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Lariah.
Grab a drink and come hang with us at the Hangar Bar.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Hanging at the Hangar Bar. You have the crew back with you tonight, and we are going to talk about a question that was presented. And that question is, are the Imagineers of today as good as the Imagineers of yesteryear?
Ooh,
very fancy phrasing.
I like it.
Yesteryear is such a specific point in time.
It really is. It
really is. Kind of like days of yore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Same vibes.
Colonial times.
Do you know any other times?
You were in yesteryear.
Yes. Okay, so let's define out Imagineering for a little, for folks that might be new to Disney, might be new to our podcast. What is an Imagineer?
So an Imagineer is basically the imaginary or engineering genius behind Disney. They're the ones that create the rides. They're the ones that create the attractions. They're the ones that create all the technology that it takes to make all the things happen. And the thing that I love most about Disney Imagineering, and this is has been from the very beginning, if the technology does not exist and they need it, they invent it, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they do park set design, lighting design, theme park building, ride concepts. All the things that
resort
you think
hotels,
of, they
everything.
Build resort hotels. They are the builders of everything Disney. They take, they come up with the ideas, and then they build new tech, and they use new tech to make experiences and that kind of thing. That's what Imagineering does. So don't think of, we have to be careful not to link Imagineering with animation.
Correct.
They're two separate entities. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we'll talk about the history of Walt Disney Imagineering. I think we've touched on it in some of our... I think I may have even touched on it in a Fallen Down the Rabbit Hole episode from a couple seasons ago, where we were talking about... where I was talking about the stock price of Disney and some of the things that went into there and how Imagineering got its start. But that's not what we're here for today. Let's just go around the room and answer the question. Then we can debate. Yes or no, is Imagineering today as good as Imagineering from even 20 years ago or 50 years ago?
Can I interject something just really quickly?
You can.
Okay, so we do need to give some celebratory shout-outs to Imagineer Lanny Smoot.
Okay.
Who was recently inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. He is the first Walt Disney Imagineer to receive the honor since Walt himself.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so, he is a current Imagineer.
Yes, he is. And he's been with the company...
I don't know. It's been lots of years. Long time. Since the 90s, I'm pretty sure, if I remember the story correctly.
That's incredible.
Do you have any specific examples of what he, like, special projects he did?
Hang on just a second.
Do, 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 do.
So he's been at the Walt Disney Company for 25 years. And has had over 74 patents since he's been with Disney.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Lanny has been instrumental in crafting iconic special effects and technical achievements at the theme parks and experiences around the world. Among them are Madame Leota's ability to float in the seance room at the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. A state-of-the-art extendable lightsaber used by Disney Live Entertainment. Magic Play Floor interactive game experience on the Disney Cruise Line. The Immersive Fortress Explorations Adventure at Tokyo Disney Sea. And more. And currently he's working on this really cool flooring surface that lends itself to like VR sort of environments. So no matter where you move, the floor moves with you.
Like, you can walk across the floor. Like, if you're in a VR headset, you never fall off of this flooring surface. You never get off, because it's kind of like a multi-directional treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And that it knows, it goes whatever direction you're going. So, like, if you're doing a VR game and you need to turn around, and you turn around, this flooring will know that you're now going a different direction and will go with you. So, if you start walking, you don't walk off the mat.
That's amazing.
It is.
Imagine the uses for that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Disney can send you out a 4x4 mat and a VR headset and send you to Disney World. And you're walking around. You put a chair there. All of a sudden, you're riding rides. Your
attractions.
You're getting on attractions. All those things that you can do with virtual reality now become much more plausible. I'm sure they're thinking about it for experiences in park, but I'm thinking 15 years from now, you buy a floor mat that you plug in into your house and you put on a VR headset and you walk around Disney World.
Interesting.
You sell a subscription to that for a couple $100 a year,
mm-hmm.
and somebody can put on a VR headset and go to Disney World whenever they want.
So I wonder if this floor is similar to like a treadmill?
It is.
Okay.
Very much so. But a treadmill, you have to move with the treadmill. Some of the old school ones, you had to get the belt started.
Yes.
But this one senses your movement. It doesn't move until you move.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So congrats to Lanny for that. That's an amazing,
mm-hmm.
amazing honor.
Yeah. And he is still with Walt Disney Imagineering.
Yes, he is.
So let's go back to my question. Is Imagineering today worse than Imagineering 20 to 50 years ago? No, no explanation, just yes or no.
Yes.
So it's not as good now?
Correct.
Okay. Lacey, is it as good now as it was, or is it better 20 years to 50 years ago or now?
I'm with Candace. I think it's better years ago.
Years ago? Lariah?
I would have to agree.
Okay. It's the same. My opinion is it's no better, no worse. So I said yes or no, and I said yes and no.
Ah.
Cheater.
I know. That's what I get for being able to ask the questions. If you ask the question first, then you can cheat in your answer too. It is.
Oh, well, he's using his Imagineer brain.
That's right. Okay, so hear me out. Here's why I think Imagineering now is not better or worse than Imagineering 20 to 50 years ago. Technology and the tools that they use are so different. You are seeing things built into the parks from 50 years ago, 60 years ago, however long ago, that were physical. You think the animatronics that they built, like they were truly inventing from the ground up. They were inventing these things. But then you take how old would some of that technology look compared to today? So we just talked about Lanny completely inventing a new flooring surface that we haven't seen out there yet. But then you look at, I think it was in last week's episode where we were talking about the animatronics and that they're going to be putting into Tiana's Bayou Adventure, where they look like actual people's faces using technology to do that. They are so much more lifelike than they ever have been before. Now, I can question some of the decisions that are being made within the Imagineering universe, but that doesn't mean I think the Imagineers are any less spectacular than they were 50 years ago.
That wasn't the question.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. So what was the question?
The question was, is Imagineering worse or better than it was 50 years ago? Not are the people more or less spectacular than they were 50 years ago, because that is a different question.
Right, and I still think it's different. It's the same. I think the advancements they're making with technology as a whole, the investments they're putting into it as a whole, are just as good, if not better, than they were 50 years ago, because they have more toys to play with.
So they have more toys to play with, which means they're not being as inventive as they were 50 and 60 years ago when they had to invent the technology.
But they are, aren't they? Give me an example of where they're not being as inventive now as they were 50 years ago.
When you put a screen-based system into three of the last five attractions that they have opened, that's not as inventive.
Okay, I'll buy that. That's a bias against like a screen-based ride attraction or a ride system.
That's lazy. And when you're talking about, okay, so even take me far as back when Navi River Journey opened. And they've got the Shaman of Song.
Mm-hmm.
That animatronic was $30 million for just her. She's amazing. She looks like she is a cast member that is sitting there singing her songs and all the things for 14 hours a day. She's amazing. But I'm sorry, when you have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and you go into the dance room with Daisy and her face is actually showing a Microsoft error, that is a problem. When Rise of the Resistance is stuck on B mode because Kylo Ren won't stop spinning around in circles, that's a problem. Fix it. Make it right. Do you have any idea what Walt would do?
Boom. Drop that microphone.
I would be interested to go back and hear reviews of some of the things that we now call beloved when Disneyland opened. As that technology was being built, it failed and failed often.
It did.
But also back then, I don't think, since technology was relatively new to that generation, I don't think they caught it as easily. Right? And so now we have a special sense in our brains to nitpick every single technological error that comes about. So they have to be extra precise.
Mm-hmm.
To domino off of your point, Candace, I said that the Imagineering from back then compared to now was better for the same reasons, because when I think about Disney World, the most memorable things about Disney World are the things that are not on a screen. And I mean, from like, okay, Soarin' the ride. We all have our complaints about it, you know. Yeah. Laura and I went on Flights of Passage, and it is an amazing ride. I loved that ride.
Mm-hmm. Attraction.
Attraction, excuse me.
Ooh.
Everybody drink. Ooh. This season, every time we call an attraction a ride, you have to drink.
Other way. Yes.
Yes. Said it.
Drink again.
But, like, I think that, and you know, Disney is smart. I think that the technology of screens, because all of their newer rides now involve a screen, right? I can't really think of one like, well, the new Tiana's Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. That is sounding promising. But, you know, like you said, Mickey and Minnie's Railway. Mm-hmm. And then
Remy.
Guardians.
Both of the rides in Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
Smuggler's Run and
Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah. They are both pretty much screen based, which I think it's the cheaper way to go. And I think that's why they do it.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to point out also, I know we've talked about this before, but list how many rides you just named off in the past 5 years since we were last there. Too fast. Slow down and pay attention to detail. Right?
That's been my argument mm-hmm. for a long time. But you also have things that people were whining about that weren't getting done fast enough, like Tron.
Go to Universal.
And here's the thing with that. So yeah, we say, and go to Universal. But Universal, in the time since we were last there, brought from concept to almost till the next time we were in Orlando to full fruition, entire park with 5 new lands that are what they say are going to be as immersive as anything Disney has done in 5 years.
Well, but I stand true. Take your complaints there then.
I tend to agree with you. Right, people are
right.
Universal is still going to be that novelty that people go to. You don't see people decorating their entire house with Universal merchandise.
Right.
There might be people out there.
I mean, like, the only one is Harry Potter. Right. That's the only. That's. I'm sorry, but that's their only. Like,
that's their draw.
Yeah. Which. That's the only reason why I want to go mm-hmm. personally. I'm a Harry Potter girl.
But. I'm just saying. I bet they do a fantastic job there too. But with Disney, it's personal. With Disney is nostalgia. And so you're messing with that part of mm-hmm. things when you complain about things not being done quick enough or up to your standards. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we've had this conversation before in past seasons, and it's kind of one of my hills that I'll die on every day. People expect perfection from Disney because Disney does perfection really, really well. But they've done that to themselves. I mean, they've set up that expectation for themselves because they do it so well. Mm-hmm. So when you don't get it, or there's not a perception of perfection, people complain.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss details and don't pay as much attention to them as they deserve, people are going to be able to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the screen thing. I think Disney is striking. So this pulls back into the Imagineering conversation. I think Imagineering is trying to stay as current and relevant with tech as they possibly can. If you build an entire attraction that is just a ride through with landscaping and animatronics, that at this point to probably 95% of the world will seem dated. It'll seem like Disney's being lazy because they're using old technology.
But that old technology works. That old technology doesn't short out with a Microsoft error.
Right. No, and I'm not disagreeing with the fact that they've maybe have become a little too reliant on screens. They need to innovate in new ways. But I think also if you think about a ride like Guardians or an attraction like Guardians, okay, drink, I did it. Damn it.
Three drinks in. I know, this right?
An attraction like Guardians where they have a physical roller coaster that is just basically music and screen based is, and from everything that I've heard, not been on that attraction as of today when we're recording, everything that I've heard about that is the best ride, best attraction in Orlando.
Which one? Can you repeat that?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
You think about Rock and Roller Coaster, which has no screens. It's all physical mm-hmm. with paint and that kind of thing. Now take and add the element of being able to interact with the Guardians of the Galaxy characters and all of that while you're on the roller coaster, and they can do all these amazing things with the screens that are there. Not to mention in 10 years when Guardians is no longer a popular movie franchise, it's easier for them to go in and update and say, hey, we're going to turn Guardians into X-Men or Deadpool or whatever. Don't crinkle your nose. You get the point that I'm making. I'm not an Imagineer. I'm not going to make that decision. It was the first movie that popped into my head. But like maybe they say Deadpool is more our speed now. It never will be. I'm using that as a... They'll never have a Deadpool person dropping F-bombs in the middle of an attraction. And
a rated R attraction.
Remember our adults only night? They switch it to Deadpool.
Oh, right? Yes.
And if they get the technology right, they have the ability to do that if they're using screens, right? You can, like, some of the physical elements could be interwoven into however you use those screens, but all of a sudden, all of your interactions with your characters are different. That's where I say technology, and maybe it's to the point of, like, you think about what we're seeing today from screen technology is version 1.0. They're starting to work towards version 2.0, 3.0. You mentioned Daisy from Mickey and Minnie's having that rear projected face on it. Whereas we were talking about last week, they're bringing in the animatronics that now are using the Frozen Ever After tech from Hong Kong?
Mm-hmm.
From Hong Kong, that looks like actual human characters and doesn't look like that rear projected. They're already on version 2.0 of some of that tech. They will retrofit some of these rides with that new tech as it becomes familiar, right? Or as it becomes more stable. I think you're going to see the same thing. You see Rise of the Resistance break down so much because the ride tech is so new. We can debate whether or not they should have used such new technology before they knew it was viable for as much use as it's getting. But if I think about comparing Imagineering then and Imagineering now, they are just on the forefront now as they were then. We maybe just aren't as nostalgic about the way they're doing it. That was a long way for me to get back to.
That was a diatribe.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Old man shakes fist at clouds.
See, and I'm the old man shaking fist at the kids in my yard when I say this. Because, you know, I'm 30 now and I'm feeling it.
Step back.
Get off my lawn.
But my
damn
whole
kids,
thing,
yeah.
My whole thing with it is that this is just the start of it. If we, you know, what was it? Star Tours, was that probably the first go at like a screen ride?
Probably.
It's so bad.
It is bad. But I'm just saying, okay, it started there in like what, the 90s?
Yes.
Okay. And here we are today. And then, you know, we have Soarin'. We had Mission Space.
Mm-hmm.
Awful, but kind of a screen-ish ride. I mean, if you aren't aware, the things that you're in to get the feeling of you lifting off, you're literally spinning upside down.
Yeah, more like torture chamber.
It is. It
is. Sorry,
but... But, okay, so we progressed, and now we're here to, like, the newest one Lorraine and I have been on, Flights of Passage. That was intense. That mm-hmm. was crazy. But the thing is, like, we're going to lose some stuff along the way here if we keep going on this route of, like, screens. Because, for instance, character meet and greets. What if in, like, 30 or 40 years they come up with some holographic character that you can...
They're already working on it.
See, and that makes me sad. Like, and not to be afraid of technology, but hearing all these things, it's like when you go to Disney World, you want to touch things. You want to make it feel like it's actually alive, that you're like, it's a thing. Like Toontown in Disneyland. That, there was a little short before the movie Rescuers. We had the Rescuers on VHS, and there was a short, and it was a Toontown short. Y'all, when you guys told me Toontown was a real thing in Disneyland, my dream, that's on my bucket list to go there.
It used to be in Disney World too.
And that makes me sad that it's no longer there, because I don't...
It's adorable.
Yeah. I want to go in and... But we're just... I don't know. It's just... Not to say that we're headed down a scary road, because I'm sure, you know, people that are older than us kind of felt the same way as it progressed. And it's not that bad, but it's just, I like the practical effects in movies.
I have something to bounce off of what you just said.
No.
Okay, fine. You'll never know. It's a secret.
Darn.
Please tell us.
Oh. Don't make us beg.
Okay, fine. Okay, so you had said something about Flights of Passage, and that kind of made me think how fast they've been pushing things out and trying to keep up with technology. I don't want to see a ride like Flights of Passage become irrelevant in the next 2 years because of how much work they put into it.
Like a Soarin'.
Yeah.
How Soarin' was like the cool, and then mm-hmm. it became Flights of Passage was the...
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it just makes me sad because the faster they go, the less personable they become. And I just...
Well, it's just like trends. They come and yeah. go now so yeah. quickly.
And yeah. just like on the point of Imagineering, that's where it becomes... not as great as it was, because with a screen, I know it's makes better sense financially for their future, but it's just not individual. It's everything becomes the same thing, and it's not authentic.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think my push to you is that's just technology.
Mm-hmm.
The pace of change, like we had one of our CEOs or one of our higher ups at work that said this all the time, and I don't know where he got it. It probably didn't come from insurance Fortune 100 company, but the pace of change that you're experiencing at this moment in time is the slowest that change will ever happen again.
I think about that a lot because you've said that before.
And Don Draper said that.
It kind of
episode of Mad Men.
Did he?
I think he did.
Okay, so maybe that's where our CEO got it. He was a Mad Men fan. But
I could be wrong, but that sounds very Don yeah. Draper.
But you think about it. So when the pace of technological change from the 1950s, when they were building animatronics and they were first figuring out how to put half a hippo to where it looked like a whole hippo on animatronic on the Jungle Cruise ride attraction, they, like, that was cutting edge state-of-the-art technology at the time. It was 40 years later before the first personal computer got put in somebody's home ish like 1980s 90s was when personal computers were kind of hitting the ground running. And now we went through, what, 10 or 15 years of dial-up, where if you were accessing the internet, you had to do dial-up and take up your phone line. To then all of a sudden we had high-speed internet that didn't require a dedicated phone line. To now every 12 months there is a new phone with new features and new things that keep that supercomputer in your pocket that used to be the size of our house. The amount of data that you can find on your phone, there's more than what used to be stored on those supercomputers that are the size of a house. And that's been in just the last 40 years. Technology for theme parks is changing just as fast.
I get that. I understand. And that's just the consumer point, business point working together. But I guess my point is, it is with the rides, but it's also with
attractions.
Dang it, sorry. Attractions.
I hope y'all aren't driving home.
But it's also with entertainment. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to Disney and see a holographic performance.
Yes.
Or I don't want to walk down Main Street and have the parade going and it be all virtual. Or I go back to our discussion, I think season two, about the fireworks show, Enchanted. You said that while Happily Ever After was a beautiful show, is a beautiful show, you said it's a projection show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you made the point saying that Enchanted was a fireworks show. So they've been leaning this direction, obviously, for a long time. And I kind of think about that all the time when going back and just thinking about technology and the future of Disney. It just makes me sad knowing that one day we may not have fireworks to see. Mm-hmm. That it may be all on a screen.
They may go to drones.
Yeah.
And, well, they use drones in Disneyland Paris. Mm-hmm. Now. And because of certain city laws and things like that in Anaheim, they don't have fireworks at Disneyland every night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because of the way the city laws are. You can only have them during certain nights and whatever. So that's a difference there. Going back to what you just said, though, about Enchantment mm-hmm. being a fireworks show. Happily Ever After is back now.
Mm-hmm.
I blame Imagineering and the first iteration of Enchantment as to why it's no longer here. Because it was built as a fireworks show for the 50th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom and the opening of Walt Disney World. And yet there was no tie to Walt or anything that the park had been. It was all movie music.
Mm-hmm.
The second iteration, when they added Mickey and Walt sound clips and those kind of things, it resolved what it should have been in the first place. But if they had just sat down and thought about what they were actually trying to tie it back to, I don't think they would have had to bring Happily Ever After back. I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just to clarify, what was Disney World's first fireworks show?
Fantasy in the Sky.
That's the one that we talked about being a fireworks show. The Fantasy in the Sky.
Or then was it Wishes?
Wishes, yes. Wishes was a fireworks show.
Okay.
Where there weren't any projections on the castle. Enchantment still had projections, lots of... But yes,
mm-hmm.
where you were going, I think the point you made is very true. They went from fireworks show to, again, this is going to trigger some folks in this room, to having to shove IP into everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Instead of it just being music and fireworks and all of the splendor that goes with that, they said, oh, we have to put our movies on the castle.
Frozen.
Right.
I mean, though...
Get out.
I think because they're catering to a younger demographic, mm-hmm. it makes sense, even... But... Because that's their world. Like, what? How many times do you go to a store or a restaurant and you don't see a child with some sort of phone or tablet?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's our world sad. Yeah. Like, it's super sad. But that, and I don't agree with the projections on there. I didn't think it was needed. Like, they did it tastefully, but that's why. They're mm-hmm. catering to that younger demographic, which makes sense. But at the same time, like, it's really sad to see that, like, they feel the need to add screens into everything to keep people coming and to keep kids engaged and entertained.
Yeah. Right. So is that current Imagineering's fault? That we would say they're not doing as good a job as Imagineering used to do?
Well, they're not doing anything to fix it. I mean, look at everything look at everything that is involved at this point to even plan a trip to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be on the phone the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes from the moment that you make your reservations and you need to tie your tickets to everything, and then you get your dining reservations, you link a Magic Band, you do all that through an app on the phone. And when you're building your day and what you want to see and what you want to do, it's all on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not helpful in solving this problem.
What percentage of the population do you think would call that a problem?
Well, all of the true Disney fans would.
But you see where I'm going with that, right?
I do.
They're building for an audience that is addicted to their phone.
Lazy.
Different.
Lazy.
I want to hear from our audience who's listening. What are your thoughts on your phones? Because I personally, again, as a 30-year-old, I am a millennial. I miss my old phone where it flipped and I just texted using the numbers. I do miss that.
Well, wait 30 years and you get a jitterbug.
Like, the phone is convenient. It is. But it is addictive. I'm finding myself, like, sitting, doom scrolling, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never used to be that bad with technology. But I just want to hear from other people. Are you pro technology like that? Like, do you mind going to the parks, having to make reservations, do pickup orders, are you there because are you partaking in that because you like the convenience of it? Or, I don't know, it's just, I feel like I'm getting old and I'm complaining about things that probably my grandparents, would complain about things when I was little that I would roll my eyes at, but I don't know.
I guess my whole thought behind it is, as much as a park ticket costs, why would you pay that money and go and have your phone, your face stuck in your phone for 85% of your day?
Yes, exactly.
When you could just be immersed in the wonder that is Disney World.
Exactly.
We've talked about it before. We've talked about the windows going down Main Street. We've talked about all the little details that are everywhere. Mm-hmm. That when you are speed walking, because you're not supposed to run, to get to your first favorite thing, and you've got your face in your phone looking at wait times, that you're missing.
So add this to our list of future topics to talk about.
Now.
Is our complaint about the use of phones in Disney justified or not? That's a topic that I think we could spend days talking about.
Oh, yeah, because I got other points, but I will save them for that day.
You do.
Because it just, why I want to have that as a separate conversation outside of
what we're talking about.
Well, outside of us needing to move back to Imagineering, is how much of that is our perception versus reality of how much time you actually spend on your phone. When you go to the parks, yes, you're fast, you're lightning lanes, that kind of thing. You're playing your day or on your phone. But how much actual time do you spend on your phone? Not just playing games. Because they're using your phone to tie to interactive cues now. There's the Play Disney app to help time go faster in lines, in cues, which is another Imagineering thing that they're working on. Trying to make it to where We watched a show about queues the other day, about they want you to not realize you're in as long a queue as you are, so they're trying to give you things to distract you from that.
So, but that's a problem with Imagineering as well. Because they could build out the queues to be much more interactive, sort of like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train queue, which is amazing. The standby queue for that is amazing. And if they built all the queues out like that, where you wouldn't have to necessarily be focused on the fact that you're standing in 112 degree heat and had things to do along the way that didn't involve looking down at a screen and isolating yourself from people while you're standing 4 inches from them in line. It's just a dependence and a reliance on something that is not Imagineering standards, in my mind.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm going to change any of your minds. I don't necessarily see that as a reduction of standard. I see it as a different time. They're using different tools to accomplish the same thing. Like, we go back to that YouTube video we watched about Disney, how Disney reinvented queues, and they were the ones that invented the switchback queue that's used almost everywhere now. And the only reason they did that, instead of having the lines stretch all the way through the park from different places, is because it gave you the perception that you were waiting in line for less time. That they're trying to use all the tools at their disposal to make you not realize that you just spent 100 minutes in line. You paid $160 to walk through the gates and stand in line for an hour. They're trying to make it to where when, and I love going and I love the queues. I've said that before, that I would prefer to go through the standby queues because they're themed amazingly well for the most part. But if you think about how you spend your day in a Disney park, you go on 10 rides that have average of, okay, I'm never going to completely lose that. You go on 10 attractions through the course of the day that have an average of a 30-minute wait. You're, what, 300 minutes? 4 hours?
5 hours.
5 hours worth of time standing in a queue for 45 minutes worth of ride time.
Attraction.
I'm talking about them as rides right now. So I'll trust my... The whole thing is an attraction. The actual ride time, vehicle ride time, is, depending on what you go on, let's say you average, you've even generously, you spend an hour on the attraction. You spent 5 hours in line, and that's assuming a 30-minute wait for everything. You've now paid $160. If we go as a family, we've now spent $650 to go stand in line for 5 hours. They're doing all that they can to make you not think about that. They're using every tool they have at their disposal to make you not think about that.
But is there a problem with hyping an attraction up so much that the lines get that out of control that you actually have to put a restroom in the middle of a line?
Is that hype? Like, who's doing that hyping?
Well, obviously, Flights of Passage, because that's what I'm talking about. There's a restroom in the middle of that line.
Because they anticipated long waits.
Right.
I think Rise has one, too.
Okay, but, again, I'm going back to my overhype thing. Like, just calm it down.
Right, but is that Imagineering's fault?
They're the ones that build the stuff.
And they built a beautiful attraction that people want to go on.
Okay, so let's blame the vloggers and the influencers.
Done.
I'm good with that.
We'll blame ourselves.
We are not influencers.
Yeah, we talked about that the other night. We don't influence anybody to do anything. We can't call ourselves influencers. We
can't even influence ourselves to do things.
So basically, kind of what I hear by that is that, and I'm assuming there are several tiers of Imagineers, or not tiers, but different groups of Imagineers that work on different parts of the park. So what you're saying right now is that are annoyed by the screens, we need to leave the Imagineers working on the rides alone for a sec and focus on the ones that are responsible for immersing you into the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to figure out a way that, like you said, you get into the park and you wait hours in line. What if we had different parts of the park that were just as entertaining that weren't attractions? They need to find something else to put your attention on, because God forbid you can't walk down Main Street for 30 minutes and just appreciate it. But just different places, like I think you said in Animal Kingdom, where is Moana?
That's in Epcot.
Epcot. Okay. Excuse me. I was thinking of
the first thing that popped into my head as you were talking about that. They are creating but those.
Then I also was Dino Land, right? That's not, there are attractions in it, but that whole area is one kind of separate part that is a whole attraction in itself.
Mm-hmm. Or the Finding Nemo show.
Yes. Yes.
But we have discussed about that. We've discussed that. They are getting, wow, it's late. It's been a long week. But they're getting rid of those live shows. I think, is that the Imagineering? Because then if it is, mm-hmm. shame on you.
I think Imagineering yeah. is responsible for, I don't know that they're responsible for the live entertainment, but they're responsible for the experience, right? Yeah. That's one area, and I don't necessarily blame Imagineering for that. I'm being yeah. kind of an Imagineering stan. That's a Bob Chapek thing that I will never forgive him for.
There's a lot more that I will never forgive him for.
He started pulling live entertainment out of the park really, really quickly after, well, while he was still chairman of the parks, he was pulling live entertainment out. Like, just, if nothing else, I'll never forgive him for pulling the Muppets out of Liberty Square.
Yeah. How foolish but is that?
I made a pinch point. Me.
Because that is live. Like I said, that was an attraction without it being an attraction. That was Disney pulling you in without you having to wait in a line, without you having to go on an attraction mm-hmm. and ride an attraction. It was you putting yourself in the Disney universe just by being there and not having to take any further action.
And that right there mm-hmm. is the Disney magic.
Exactly.
And they got to not lose that. Mm-hmm. So I will agree with you all in that there are decisions being made within Imagineering that I don't necessarily agree with. The hotelification of the resorts is another one. All of the resorts are starting to resemble Marriott's. Their color palettes, they're throwing in Disney touches here and there, but they are all starting to look like chain hotels. And that's because probably some consultant came in and said you could save $1 billion by using the same paint on every room. And this is the sleek look that everybody wants in a hotel. And somebody bought into it. But that's the, there's decisions being made to pull away from what made Disney Disney that I think they're going to have to go back to. But again, I don't know that those decisions are being made within Imagineering. The work that Imagineering is doing is still phenomenal work that is based on the most current technology. Like, if you, let me put it this way as we go back into thinking about Imagineering then versus now. Would you have wanted the original Imagineers to not build with the newest technology that they knew about because you were nostalgic for something that you saw in 1920?
Yes.
We never would have gotten animatronics.
Oh, you said 1920?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So basically, if we compare Imagineers today to somebody 50 years ago, an Imagineer in the 1950s, their frame of reference would have been the 1900s. Would you have wanted them to stick to that technology and not ever grow and only improve that technology? Or so then extrapolate that to 2024, we go back to 1970s, 50 years ago? Do you want them only to stay true to the technology they knew about in the 1970s? So they're doing the best they can with trying to keep up with the pace of change and the pace of technology that they have now, building things like floors that they're going to be able to build fantastic experiences off of that you can never fall off of.
Figure out a way.
That 100 years ago, 70 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, wasn't even a thought of imagination yet. And they are building it. They're patenting it. Like, the fact that no Imagineer, like, I was going to bring that guy up anyway, because the fact that no Imagineer has gotten the Inventor of the Year award since Walt in the Disney company tells me Imagineering's doing something right today.
Yeah, I agree, but also Imagineering doesn't always have to do with being inventing something.
No.
It has to do with, like in Morocco, them painting the back of the Tower of Terror attraction to fit in with Morocco. And I think that is the basis of what they're losing passion about.
Yeah. And to your point, I think that's where speed is killing.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. They're not spending as much time. I think they notice those details. They just have to move so fast they can't deal
and
with those
details.
And
that's the problem.
Yeah.
That is where they are not being as precise. And that is not Disney to me, but it's also the consumers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what
you know,
we
just want things at our fingertips so fast, it saddens me so much.
I was in Disney World yesterday. Why don't they have something new today?
Right.
That's why when they talk about Universal's Epic Universe, everyone's like, that's going to take so much away from Disney. No, it won't. Disney's still going to have 6 of the top 10 theme parks by attendance in the United States. Even after Epic Universe, it's going to happen. People go to Orlando for Disney. Yeah, there's a subset of people that go to Orlando for Universal, but it's not nearly the population that Disney has.
Well, and like the people who go back to Disney, those are the people that we see in line. Like your shirt, when we were standing in line for Spaceship Earth,
mm-hmm.
there was a family of people, maybe a little bit younger than you. I think the mom maybe around your age or so, and she had a couple of kids who were probably preteens, something like that. And Scott was wearing a Carousel of Progress shirt, a very underrated ride, you know,
attraction.
Well, look at Drink. Us go. And she absolutely loved his shirt and said, "Oh my God, where did you get that shirt? I need that shirt." Those people go back because they like the original stuff. So, like, if the next time we go back, like, you guys are going back, how many new rides are you going to be able to ride? That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little too much.
You know the funny thing about that shirt?
What?
Not only did that family, like, "Oh, I love your shirt. Where did you get it? That's awesome." That same trip, I had somebody look at that shirt and ask me why the fan said Niagara Falls.
Interesting. Well, there you go. That's...
They didn't pay... And if you're listening, here's a little quiz for you. Why does the fan on my Carousel of Progress shirt say Niagara Falls?
Winner gets bragging rights.
Winner gets shout out in our 4-person followed Reddit account.
Ooh.
But it's that attention to detail that I think people miss, which then makes it harder for the Imagineers to want to put that level of detail in. It's a vicious circle, but I'll go back to my point of Imagineering is just as good as they have always been. The amount of love and care they have for the company is just as much as it always has been.
Well, tell me why they put Guardians in Epcot then.
Excellent question.
I need a good, I know IP, I know relevance, I need a good explanation as to why they put Guardians in Epcot.
So I don't know that this is a good explanation. What land does that attraction sit in? World Discovery. World Discovery. So when they renamed the different lands around Epcot, you're out exploring space. You're discovering space with the X-Men. Like, if you think about the story,
it fits. Why is Spaceship Earth in front of the park then?
And yet it took over universe of energy.
Because Spaceship Earth sits in World Celebration.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Is that right? Spaceship Earth sits in World Celebration?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're celebrating the history of communication. Like, I don't necessarily agree with Guardians being right for Epcot,
right.
But if you think about
it's a reason.
It fits.
Not a very good one.
Right.
Okay, what about Frozen?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You will never get me to. You will never get me to say that that was a good idea.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so what Imagineer pulled that card out of the hat?
I don't know who made.
We need names.
That may have been.
I need names.
That may have been an Iger decision.
No, 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 no.
Because if you hear me out. He was the CEO when that movie came out.
Who was in charge of parks?
Chapek. So it very well could have been a Chapek decision too. I don't know, but my guess is they got fought. If you were to see the internal memos on that, someone somewhere said, "But Frozen doesn't take place in this land." And somebody else was like, I don't care. It's adjacent, and we're going to make money off of this.
That sounds like Chapek.
Yeah. So that's why that's there, is because somebody said, oh, this is popular. This will bring more people into the parks. We'll make more money. Uh-huh. Okay, Bobby Boucher. I'm going to have to go find that sound clip if I can.
Do you guys ever wonder what, since they have been working on so much all around the other parks, focusing on Epcot primarily, do you ever think about Tomorrowland and how it's supposed to be futuristic, mm-hmm. and they have yet to do a single thing? And yes, this is my petition to get rid of the Astro Orbiter.
There it is.
Speaking of,
signed.
I was looking at wait times today.
Oh, good Lord, what?
That stupid thing had a 30-minute wait time. The People Mover, the beloved, amazingly perfect People Mover, had a 10-minute wait. And that pile of trash on top of it had...
Don't tell people to go to the People Mover. I want short lines for the People Mover. Let them stay in line for the Astro Orbiter.
I mean, it's the best ride ever.
I mean, if you're going to choose to ride a stinky elevator in hot weather
on sandpaper,
then you over the People Mover, you know the People Mover is there.
Right.
But you want to ride that stinky elevator.
The stinky
elevator.
You want
to smell the fear.
Ladies,
smell the fear.
They need is exfoliated.
Excuse me, lady, if you were there.
Lady.
I'm speaking to the lady on After Hours, September 20th. 19th. If you were the one who recommended it, I have some words for you.
I hate you. You are dead to me.
Not only recommended it, but said it was the best ride in Magic Kingdom.
Was she drunk?
She was completely sober. That's how,
And I think she was
just
alone.
Didn't want you to get in line for what she was going to go get in line for.
Well, we did.
Yeah.
And she goes, this is the best one because during the day, the line is so long. And so Lorraine and I looked at each other and were like, okay. Like,
nice view. Heck yeah, we're in.
Yeah. No. No.
Barf bag.
I didn't really care if my seatbelt came unloose, to be honest. Because
yes.
I thought that ride was going to take off.
Yeah. And I
she got
it. Oh, goodness. Okay. So we have had a very spirited conversation.
I want to go back to one thing that you were talking about, though.
Okay.
All right. What would the history of the Disney company be if Walt thought things were good enough?
I don't disagree.
So
that's the same point that I was making.
Right, but my point to you is if the Imagineers are having trouble wrapping their heads around why they need to pay attention to detail because it's good enough for the people that are walking around the park and not paying attention to those details, why should they bother paying attention to the details? Do you know what Mr. Walt Disney would say to that? Get out.
Yeah, so if I said...
Get out.
If I said, I don't think... If I said they're saying, why bother, I probably misspoke. My guess is that those details are... In the corporate world, we call them day two issues of we know they have to be done, but we have to move on to something else, and then you never quite go back to it because you're understaffed, you're underfunded, all of those things, which, again, is not Imagineering's fault. That's the CEO's fault. So I give me the look. I'm fine with it. CEO holds the money. Like, I saw an article today that I sort of... I agree with. I don't know how true it is, but I agree with it. The movie business side of Disney right now is losing so much money. The parks are having to fund that. Mm-hmm. So if the parks are funding losses in other parts of the company, all of a sudden you can't afford everything Imagineering wants to do. You can't afford a new land. You can't afford a new park because you're propping up all the losses for Disney Plus and the movie business and all of those areas that aren't making money right now. Again, not Imagineering's fault. Like my whole thing, I get where you're coming from saying they paid more attention to detail. They did all of that when Walt was around because Walt had a different standard probably. But I think the company, the Imagineers today have just as much love for company, as much love for storytelling, and are doing as good a job as any Imagineering group ever. There's just bad decisions being made above them that they have no control over. So I think they're doing the best with what they can. I can't say they're doing worse than Imagineering before, which is my point. I wouldn't say, no, they're not as good as they were before. I get why you say they are, but I put the blame somewhere else for that, not on Imagineering itself.
So, and we've talked about this before too. And I think probably this is a consumer issue more than anything. But the speed at which stuff is getting cranked out, and that goes the whole gamut of Walt Disney Pictures, Pixar, Marvel Universe, Star Wars.
New attractions, new everything is moving faster. I'm just
talking about the movies.
Okay.
But the speed at which all of that is getting cranked out, I think it's losing a lot of the magic of, oh good, it's a Disney movie. We haven't seen one of these in a while. Let's go. And then, like, you're coming out with things like Elemental, which, don't get me wrong, it was a cute movie. It was a good... I mean, it takes it back to Romeo and Juliet, basically. Mm-hmm. Which is supposedly the best story ever told. Done the right way, it absolutely 100% is. But I think they're almost bordering on too much of the obscure concepts and not to what they're really truly good at. And I think they're just doing it too fast and it's too experimental and people are being like, what? It feels like when Disney MGM Studios turned into Hollywood Studios. It feels like they've lost their way and they don't know who they are anymore.
This is probably another topic for another day, but I blame shareholders for that.
Hey, we do what we can.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I blame mega shareholders for that.
I'm not there yet.
Because if you, what does a shareholder want out of the company?
Profit.
Profit and lots of it.
Right, but if you don't do things the right way so that you have to not have profit, that's a problem.
Right. Where I was going with that, though, is how do you increase profit in movie business? You don't do it by making less.
You should do it by making better.
They're trying to do both. They may not be doing a good job at that. Again, that's not an Imagineering conversation, but they are trying to do both. But it's one of those things, they're like, let's put out 30 movies this year, or let's do a movie a week this year between all of our studios. Maybe half of them will hit. Versus when Walt was making movies, he would spend 18 months, 2 years on a single movie when it was just an animation studio. Can you imagine how quickly Iger would be run out of town if he said, hey, we're going to go back and we're going to release two movies that are one movie per studio this year. We're just going to make sure we get them right. Can you imagine how quickly the shareholders would throw him out of the company?
They would be wrong.
But it would happen. Because it's all about making money. Like, everything right now, and I blame society in general. Like, this could be another topic for another day, but society in general celebrates wealth so much that it becomes impossible to put out a good product because you're always moving on to the next thing that's going to make me money.
And that I was going to say, I think it's our society now, especially with internet, social media has a big role to play, I think, because bringing back to the phones too in our hands, people are taking pictures and, you know, the purple wall at Disney and trying new foods. There's this TikToker that is asking their followers to fund their trip to Disneyland to try food there. And it's like, I think that has a big role to play in that too, to where us as consumers, you know, we want because we want things now. Mm-hmm. That's our world. Like, stores are starting to die off because people are online shopping. I mean, I'm guilty of that. It's, you know,
every day, Candace, every day.
But it is. It's collectively everybody's fault. And we all need to realize that, like, getting things now quicker, all of that isn't always better.
Yep.
And who is the one to stop it is the big question, you know?
Yeah. We as a society have to get over that love of being seen. Because you think about Instagram, like, how many people, like, how much food is Disney creating right now? Just, again, tying this all back to Disney a little bit. How much food are they creating just so people can take pictures of it?
I think a lot of it, because we've even seen reviews of things where it says it looks great. It's very Instagrammable. It makes a beautiful picture. But the quality is not what it should be, and it tastes terrible.
And all of a sudden, that picture goes viral. And what would be a $5 million advertising spend generally becomes free to Disney. That's why they let the people walk around with their cameras in the parks and go on ride or attractions with their cameras. And that's why you see so many influencers in Disney, and Disney doesn't shut that shit down. Because it's annoying to see them in the park. They get in people's way. They're eating on trash cans. They're all those things that we kind of complain about, but Disney wants them there because that's a lot of free advertising that drive interest in their parks. Mm-hmm. And again, we as a society eat that up. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh yeah, I'm going to follow every Disney influencer I can because I like the pictures they send because it makes me feel like I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I've long said, like, we'll wrap this up here. I've long said that give me a VR headset and a subscription to walk around Disney World whenever I want. I'm never watching an influencer on YouTube again.
They need to figure out how to make snacks.
Well, yes.
How to make snacks.
Yeah, like where you could walk up to, say, for example, Sleepy Hollow refreshment stand.
And you would actually get a snack.
And you would get
a 3D printed snack.
I don't want to eat 3D printed stuff. Gross. Unless they can print food.
Right. That's what I'm saying is 3D print food, which I don't even want to imagine like the chemicals that would be involved in that.
No.
Oh, we're going to get there one day. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Or like pills.
Yeah.
That taste like whatever it is.
Hydrate this. And
gum or something like Willy Wonka.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
The crossover we never knew that we wanted.
Willy Wonka is just in charge of Disney World.
Yeah, just don't let it get to the blueberry pie.
You be quiet kidding. Right now.
Just don't let it get to the blueberry pie.
No.
Okay, so this was a very spirited conversation. It was a fun one.
Did we get the question answered, though? I feel like we kind of went all over the place.
No, we totally did. Everybody answered the question at the beginning, and then we discussed...
Lots of things.
You all ganged up on me and told me I was wrong, and I told you you all were wrong, and it is what it is. It's opinions are like a-holes. Everybody's got one.
Imagineers are very much appreciated.
They are.
Mm-hmm. They are amazing people. We could not have anything without them. They are stellar. They're geniuses, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we love them very much.
Yes. They're doing amazing work.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing work. We get the luxury and the privilege to nitpick. And sit back and look at the work that they do and judge. I wouldn't want any of them judging the work I do every day. That's for sure. No.
But again, congratulations to Lanny Smoot on his installation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to see how some of that stuff comes into play in the very near future.
Yeah.
He's changing the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And with that, check out our socials. Interact with us. We asked you a couple questions during this episode that we want you to come talk to us about. Do that on Instagram, Facebook, probably in the YouTube comments. Wherever you want to interact with us, we want to interact with you. And remember, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow.
And we'll see you real soon.